Welcome back, everyone, to Campfire Tales. Tonight, we have a horrifying story about someone who adventures off into the Ozarks. If you don't know where the Ozarks is located, that's probably for the best. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss tonight's story. If you like true and creepypasta scary stories, make sure to subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up. Now let's get spooky. I've been a biologist ever since I was 22 years old. I grew up on a farm in rural Illinois, so nature has never been a stranger to me. Playing in the woods was how I entertained myself growing up. Spending all my time in the forest as a child, people expect me to have stories about Bigfoot or strange noises or finding some weird shrine in the middle of the woods. But no. The weirdest things I ever encountered was a bobcat screeching. It sounds just like a woman's dying scream. And yes, to everyone who has claimed that they had heard a skinwalker or a goatman screeching in the woods at night, I promise you, it was just a bobcat. The truth is often mundane or disappointing. You'd think that this would mean I would have gotten bored of the woods. But I never really lost my love for them. Nature is boring, and that is why I like it. You know what to expect. That's why after college, I decided to make studying nature my full-time career. I'm a biologist for the Sierra Club, specialized in the ecosystems of Midwestern America. Fish, birds, deer, elk, bear, wolves, the like. I've spent weeks in fire towers, cabins, campsites, always miles away from civilization. I'm usually gathering data on local wildlife, measuring the pollutants, determining whether the ecosystem is stable or if anything threatens it. The work is not glamorous, but I enjoy it. And nature has still never surprised me. Until that last assignment. I was designated to be stationed alone in a cabin in the Ozarks. The assignment was supposed to last for 3 weeks in the month of May. The Sierra Club was alerted to a steady decline in the local elk population over the last decade. Nothing drastic, but enough to raise concern. My job was to take census of the wildlife, measure for pollutants, the usual. These are the diary entries of my assignment, starting with the first night. I arrived in the evening early May. Nothing was amiss for the first two nights. It seemed like an assignment like any other. The sounds of the forest were exactly what you would expect. Crickets and owls hoot, and the occasional elk call. I was sent here in May because that's their mating season. The elk are out and about looking for their, dates, and that makes them easy to count. Elk mating is pretty straightforward. The female lets out a call and waits for a male to find her. Usually it's first come, first serve, if you catch my drift. If only, right? It was clear that love was in the air. And for the calling, you'd think I would be starting to see elk. But by the second day, I still hadn't spotted a single one. On the third night, I laid awake in bed uneasy. Something wasn't sitting right with me, but I couldn't put my finger on why. I was about to nod off when a female called out through the night. I sighed. That was the second time that night I had heard her. What, are these fellas having a boys' night out or something? And that's when it finally hit me. I shot bolt upright in bed. For the last 3 nights, I had heard nothing but female mating calls that should have drawn every single male within a half a mile. Now elk are not discreet, and they don't beat around the bush. When that male gets to the female, well, let's just say the whole forest will know about it. I sat in bed, staring out into the night, pondering. There has to be males close enough to hear the female. So after 3 nights of her calls, why haven't I heard a single event? On the third day, I went out onto the trails, once again looking for any sign of elk in the forest. What I found was not encouraging. About a quarter mile away from my cabin, I was trekking down the trail when I noticed something 30 feet into the woods. A large, brown, fuzzy mess just laying there in the brush. I smiled. An elk may be taking a midday nap. I took out my binoculars to get a closer look. It was an elk, all right. But my smile dropped when I realized that this brown, fuzzy mass was completely still. I carry a hunting rifle with me for safety. I readied it and approached the elk carefully. It looked fine from where I was standing, but I nearly dropped my rifle when I rounded to the animal's front. It was carnage. The poor creature had been completely gutted. What little remains of its internals hung loosely out of its chest cavity. The ribs have been pulled apart, and huge claw marks scarred its flank. I heaved and almost lost what little breakfast I had. It was horrifying. I had to take a few moments to collect myself. This was the first time that nature had surprised me. What could have possibly done this? I've studied wildlife for years. This was a bull elk in its prime. It would have stood at least 9 feet tall alive, king of the forest. There was no predator on this continent that could have taken down a full-grown bull, pack or no pack. Even a grizzly wouldn't mess with something this big. And bears are mostly scavengers anyways. My mind raced through possibilities, trying to think of some kind of explanation. Maybe it had been sick, or even a predator had snuck up on it while it was asleep and got it by surprise. Yes, that must be it. It just couldn't have fought back. But this savagery, those claw marks were bigger than even a grizzly's, and its ribs. No quadruped could have exerted leverage on the ribs to split them like that. You would need arms. A chilling thought occurred. A human? Could humans have done this? But why? Hunters would skin it, or take the head at least, to mount it on their walls or something. Is some psychopath out there dismembering wildlife just for fun? And that still wouldn't explain the gruesome claw marks. Whatever this was, it needed to be reported. I was sent here to investigate the elk population declining, and this had to be related. I fished out my camera to take photos. Having to document the horror from every single angle was heart-wrenching. The look in its eyes. The elk had been terrified when it died. I went to take one last shot. Just as the shutter clicked, my ears registered something. A sound from behind me that the camera had nearly drowned out. I whipped around, and I barely heard it, but it was there. A twig snapping. My camera hung from my neck and my rifle from my shoulder. I dropped one to snatch the other. Idiot, I thought to myself as I pointed the rifle towards the sound. I had been so shaken up by the sight of the body, I had completely overlooked out one important fact. The kill is fresh. This corpse hadn't even begun to decay. This elk had been dead no more than a day or so. and that means whatever had killed it was still nearby. With my rifle still trained on the spot, I backed up towards the trail. My hike back to the cabin was the only time in my life I felt scared of the forest. Trees surrounded me on all sides, no visibility. I jumped at the slightest sound, never lowering my rifle, never going more than 5 seconds without looking behind me. I felt like prey, never knowing where the danger would come from or when. I didn't relax until my cabin door was closed and locked behind me. I spent the rest of the day inside the cabin, shaken. I readied the photos and sent them to my supervisors. They would take a day or two to respond. Until then, my plan was to investigate, during the day, and with my rifle ready. That night was the last night in the cabin. I was getting ready for bed and I heard a female elk call again. The first one that I had heard that day, and close. Very close. Wildlife didn't like buildings. They smell the fire and metal and gasoline, all unnatural to them. They just steer clear. What was this elk doing so close to this cabin? I peered out my window into the dark of the forest. Of course, I wasn't going to shoot the elk, but I might send a few shots into the air to scare her off. It would be nice to know the elk are breeding normally, but I could do without front row seats. I unlocked my cabin and took a step out onto my porch, rifle still in hand. My eyes scanned the tree line looking for the female. That's when a pair of antlers stuck out from behind a tree. An elk's head followed them and turned peer right out at me. But this was a buck, probably attracted by the female's calls. This was promising, but all the more reason to scare them away. I raised my rifle to the sky and prepared to fire. That was when the elk flew into the air, or its head did. The buck's head sailed into the arc towards me and landed just feet away from my door. I stood there in shock, trying to process what had just happened. Something or someone had been holding the head and just threw it. I nearly pissed in fear. I pointed my rifle at the tree where the buck's head had appeared. The light from my cabin barely reached. Were my eyes playing tricks on me? Had I just seen claws retreating around the trunk? I was frozen. I needed to reach behind me and open the door and get back inside, but I was too scared to turn my back on the forest, or even take my hand off of the rifle. After a few seconds, I finally gathered up enough nerve to brace the rifle against my shoulder, my finger still on the trigger. I groped behind me until my left hand found the doorknob, never taking my eye off of the tree. Thank God the door had not been locked behind me. With my left hand, I turned the knob and pushed open the door. Then drew it back to my rifle, I backed away quickly into the cabin, slamming the door and locking it. I hurried to the windows, drawing all the blinds and making sure each was locked, never letting my rifle out of my arm's reach. The terror that I felt as I approached each window, never knowing if someone or something would be on the other side of the glass staring back at me. There hadn't been, which was almost as unnerving. I rushed to the satellite phone to call the sheriff's office at the base of the mountain. The relief I felt when they picked up. "You need to get here quick," I pleaded.
"Who is this?"
It was the sheriff's deputy on the other end. I met him and the sheriff before beginning my stay at the cabin.
"It's me. I'm the guy stationed up here on the cabin on the mountain."
"Oh, sorry about that. What's the problem?"
"There is someone up here messing with me. Get up here now."
"Whoa, whoa, whoa. slow down. You mean like kids or something?
No, it's no frickin' kids. Someone is up here and they just threw a decapitated elk head at my cabin. In my panic, I had somehow kept the awareness to use the phrase someone instead of something. I didn't want this guy to think that I was drunk or crazy. I just needed him to get up here.
Well, what did they look like? And how many of them are there? And did they have guns?
I have no frickin' clue, man. They killed a frickin' elk, cut the head right off, and threw it at the cabin just to get up here.
Oh shit, okay. Lock yourself in there. We're on our way.
Man, please stay on the line. I'm scared here. I was really terrified. I wanted somebody to stay on the phone with me, even if they couldn't even help me. The man replied,
I can't get to you and stay on the line at the same time. I'm calling the sheriff now. We're on our way. Just lock yourself in and stay there.
The man hung up. I swore. I was alone again. A female elk call rang out again. This time it was even closer. It sounded like it was right outside now. I took up my rifle again. That's when the tapping started. While I was talking to the deputy, I hadn't been watching the windows. The sound was coming from the window right of the front door. My eyes widened in horror. A single gray claw was tapping on the right edge of the window. Just one claw. Whatever it was attached to wanted to stay out of sight. The claw stopped tapping. Instead, it drew itself along the window and out of my sight, leaving a long, ugly scratch. The sound was horrible, but it didn't stop it when it left the window. I could still hear it, dragging along the wooden walls of my cabin. The creature was scratching through solid wood. Could it break through my windows? Why didn't it? My knees shook. I tracked the sound of the scratching with my rifle. My mind raced. Could this thing get in? How long until the sheriff got here? I was high up on the mountain. The drive up here would take about 45 minutes. Even if they hurried, they may make it here in about 30 minutes. Even if they did get here, could they even stop this thing? Should I make a run for my truck? No. Whatever this thing was, it could get to me before I got my truck up and running. Something nagged at the back of my head, and I could barely think. The scratching was louder and louder. Whatever this thing was, it had torn a bull elk to shreds. How could I stop it? The bull. That's when I realized. The head. It was the same head as the bull I had seen earlier. It had the same scar down its right cheek. This thing was taunting me. It must have been there when I found the dead elk. It had been watching me. And now it had thrown the head at me. Was it telling me to go away or to get out of its territory, perhaps? I just gasped, with my mind racing. I hadn't noticed that the scratching had stopped. Where was this thing? My eyes darted from window to window. No sign of it. Until the loud thud right above me. It's on the damn roof, I thought. Its footsteps echoed through the cabin. Between each step came rhythmic taps, no doubt from its claws. Was it testing for weakness? Was it merely toying with me? It had only been a few minutes since I had called the sheriff's office. I was still far from safety. I hadn't moved since the call. The thing on the roof had thudded from spot to spot. The shock was starting to wear off. Focus. Think, I told myself. The thing had probably seen me through my window. It was right above me. The bathroom. The bathroom was the safest spot. There was no windows. If it does break in, it will have to look for me, then break through the bathroom door. That might buy me an extra minute and maybe save my life. The creature knew where I was. I had to try to change that. I slowly slipped off my shoes, keeping the rifle trained on the roof. I kicked a shoe towards my bed. Sure enough, the thuds on my roof followed, stopping right above the spot where my shoe had landed. It's tracking me. I slowly shuffled to the bathroom, not raising my feet, afraid to make a sound, praying that the door would not creak. I opened the bathroom, preparing to lock myself inside. I was shutting myself in, hoping that I wouldn't die in this bathroom, when I heard a loud scratch followed by a dull thud. It had jumped off of the roof. It was on the ground again, outside the cabin. Why? Was it going away? I was afraid to hope that maybe it had gotten bored. Maybe it had found some other prey. That is when I heard the woman scream. I gasped and covered my mouth. How was this possible? No one else is up here. A hiker? A camper, maybe? The scream came again. I gripped my rifle, crying now. I was frozen in fear. That thing was out there, chasing some poor woman, and I was too cowardly to help her. I just wanted to stay in that bathroom, hiding, hoping that every second the thing spent chasing that woman was another second closer to the sheriff getting here. I don't know how long I sat there cowering. Another, more desperate scream.
Help me!
There was something in her terror. She was more scared than I was. And there I sat, letting her die. My shame overcame my fear. I gripped my rifle tighter and left the bathroom. I marched towards the door, ready to face whatever this creature was. Maybe I could distract it, buy some time for her to get away. Maybe the sheriff would find her, even if that thing got me first. Just as I reached for the doorknob, she cried out again. A pained, dying scream. I was too late. That thing had gotten to her. I was a coward, and because of that, she was dead. The woman moaned in pain, this time just a few meters away from my door. This must be her final moments. I listened, safe in my cabin. She groaned once more, but this sounded different somehow. It was. My eyes widened in shock and realization. I drew my hand back from the doorknob as it had burned me. I had never unlocked it. Thank God. The moan came again. This time, unmistakable. That was not a moan of pain, of terror. It was an entirely different type of moaning. I backed away from the door. You motherfucker, I muttered. You almost got me. It all made sense now. Yeah. There never was a female elk. Mimicry is a common adaptation in all ecosystems, both for prey and for predators. This thing, it let out a female elk cry to draw in males. And then, well, I had already seen the results in the forest. That's why I'd never heard elks mating. There was no female waiting for them, only this monster. And now, it was using the same tactic on me. I nearly sobbed in terror. It had tried to lure me with the sound of a woman in distress. It thought that might draw me out. When that did not work, it switched to its tried and true method, a mating call. I aimed my rifle at the door. The moans continued, louder and more intense, building up into a climax. I was nauseous at the thought of whatever it was there, squatting in the dark, mouth agape, emitting this perversion of a woman's voice, trying to draw me out into the dark and rip me apart just like it did that elk. I stood with my rifle trained at the door, not moving. I had resolved that I was going to stand there until the sun rose or until the sheriff had came. And the moment I saw that thing, I was going to shoot it. I don't know how long I stood there amongst the echoes of that sick creature. Eventually, the moans puttered out and I was left in silence. Until the tapping began again. In the same spot as before. There it was. The single gray claw, tapping in the same spot where it had scratched the glass. But then a second claw joined, then a third. It drummed them along the glass, slowly, even more slowly. A patch of gray fur poked out from the edge of the window. Time stopped. And the creature broke its face into full view. It was terrible. Like a sloth, but its mouth and nose were caked in blood. It had tiny beady eyes, front-facing, a predator's eyes. Large, pointy ears, almost like a bat. Thin, cracked lips. The monster looked right into my eyes. It cocked its head, and then it pulled those terrible bloody lips back into a smile. Its razor-sharp teeth still stained with blood and flesh. I'll never forget them. It pointed that hideous grin at me as it drummed those claws on my window. Shoot, 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 I told myself. But I was frozen. This thing was going to kill me. Light had poured in through the window, and the monster had disappeared out of sight. The sheriff and deputy had arrived in their truck. The two of them ran up to my porch and knocked. I had to shake myself out of my stupor and open the door. Both of them backed off and drew their weapons at me, screaming at me to put down the gun. I was still in shock. I think the only thing that kept them from shooting me was the terrified look in my eyes. They asked me what the hell was going on. I could barely speak. I just kept frantically repeating that they needed to go inside, that it was still out there. At first, I refused to leave the cabin. They sort of half-dragged, half-walked me to the truck. They said I was like an owl the whole ride down, my head on a swivel, always scanning the tree line for it. I must have fallen asleep when I had arrived at the station. I woke up the next morning in a cell. I was confused and disoriented. I nearly wept from fear when I had finally remembered everything that I had gone through the night before. The sheriff and deputy sat me down in a room and asked me what the hell had happened that night. I was silent at first. I didn't know what to tell them. If I told the truth, they'd think that I was crazy. They'd ask me about the elk's head that I had told them about during the call. It was gone when they had gotten there. Just a bloody stain on the ground where the head had once laid. I made up a story. I said that some kids were prowling around the cabin, making noises trying to scare me. I called the sheriff's office because I thought I saw one of them with the gun. The sheriff only made me go over the story once. He seemed satisfied. He took me back up there the next day to collect my stuff. In broad daylight, of course. Sure enough, there were deep scratch marks along the side of the cabin. The sheriff didn't look at me. Kids? He said. We collected my things quickly and hurried back down the mountain. I reported to my supervisors that they were probably overhunting, causing the population to decline. They would never believe the truth. The sheriff had saw me off while I waited for the bus to take me back home. He shook my hand and drew me in one of them manly half-hugs. He gripped my shoulder. don't come back, he whispered. I gave him a confused look. He stared me right in the eyes. It knows you now. It has your scent, seen your face, heard your voice. You got away once. It won't happen again. So don't ever come back. That was years ago. I buried the clothes that I had worn on that trip, so there's no way they'd end up near the Ozarks again. Never been back anywhere near the Ozarks. And anyone who's ever asked me, I've always told them to steer clear. I've spent so much time trying to forget what I had seen that night. But that face, I remember every detail. It's kept me up on so many nights with so many questions. What the hell was it? Some freak of nature? A mutant that somehow survived past infancy? Something supernatural? An alien? Those ears. Perfectly crafted to detect minute sounds, just like a bat. That explains its mimicry. It grew up in that forest, hearing the elk calls. After a while, it learned to copy them. I spent many nights asking myself, how? How did it know a woman's voice? I dread to ponder the answer. When sleep finally comes, I have nightmares. Nightmares about campers sitting around their fire when all of a sudden they hear a voice calling out to them from the woods, crying for help. The voice in my nightmares, calling them into the darkness of the trees, away from the safety of their fire. The voice. My voice. Well, I hope that you guys enjoyed the creepy story tonight. If you did, make sure to subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up, and tell a friend. Enjoy the rest of your night, stay safe, and stay spooky.